This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Today is a day of praising our Lord. Today is a day of saying Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar means that God is great, God is greater, God is the greatest, God is greater than anything that our minds could possibly conceive. God is greater than the universe, which He created out of nothing by His divine fiat. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar Kabira, walhamdulillahi kathira. This is the day upon which we commemorate the faith, the sacrifice, the struggle, the obedience of our Master Ibrahim alayhi salam. We are the millah of Ibrahim alayhi salam. We are the standard bearers of pure Abrahamic monotheism, Tawheed Ibrahimiyya, in the world. Nobody comes close to us. The Christians have slightly more followers, but the vast, vast majority of them are Trinitarians. They worship God as three distinct persons. This is not Tawheed. While the Jews are only 15 million or so worldwide, and they reject Isa alayhi salam and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we are the standard bearers of Tawheed. Allahu Akbar. And in our times, and I'll come back to this later in the khutbah inshallah, in our times right now in 2021, people of all stripes all around the world are really starting to wake up to the truth that Islam as a worldview stands uniquely equipped as a formidable and robust opposition to the rational, extremist, unnatural, and intolerant zeitgeist of our current age. The promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is true, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. When God's help and victory come, and you see humanity entering the religion of God in multitudes and masses, glorify the praise of your Lord. Truly He is ever relenting. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. There is a surah in the Quran called Surat Ibrahim alayhi salam, appropriate for today's occasion. This surah contains one of the great spiritual laws of the universe. So there are physical laws and there are spiritual laws. It's an equation essentially, and this is how it goes. Gratitude to God equals increase from God. Gratitude to God equals increase from God. That's it. Shukr equals ziyada. If we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will increase us. That's ayah 7 of Surat Ibrahim alayhi salam. But let's look at the preceding ayat for some context. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins, Alif Lam Ra. The meaning of these letters is a sir, is a mystery, is a secret known only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we allow them to remain a mystery. Imam Ar-Razi said that the wisdom of this is that this keeps our hearts oriented toward that which is beyond our sense experiences and rational faculties. It reminds us of the noumenal realities of the unseen that are imperceptible to our senses and unknown to our intellects. After this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka litukhrija an-nasa min adh-dhulumati ila an-nur. A book we have revealed to you in order for you to bring humanity out from the darkness. And the Arabic here is in the plural, min adh-dhulumat, from the many manifestations of darkness to the light. Imam Az-Zamakhshari, he said, these are metaphors, isti'aratan, darkness and light. These are metaphors for dalal and huda, for error and guidance. The ayah continues, bi'idhni rabbihim ila siratil azizil hamid. By the permission of their Lord to the path of the mighty, the constantly praised. That's the first ayah. So, the kitab, the Quran, is the means through which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided us from error. The Quran is the ultimate and definitive revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Quran is the standard of judgment with respect to the previously revealed books, such as the Torah and the Injil. There is no more wahi, there is no more prophetic revelation to come. It has been sealed with our Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he said, هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ حَبْلُ اللَّهِ. This Quran is the rope of God. حَبْلٌ مَمْدُودٌ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ. A rope that extends from the heavens to the earth. However, the Quran did not literally descend from the heavens as pages in a book, or written scrolls that anyone can just unfurl and read. Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka, a book we have revealed to you. And the pronoun here is masculine singular. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking directly to our master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In fact, according to Imam al-Qurtubi, the Sirat itself, the Sirat Mustaqim, is a reference to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. This is why the word Sirat is never in the plural. It is one specific path, the path of our master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, a path that never goes out of style. It stays relevant. It remains necessary. The Quran descended upon the qalb, the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The qalb in the context of the Quran is not the physical heart that pumps blood. It is really the mind, the seat of emotion and reason. This is why the qalb can fail to understand something. لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا or لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ يَعْقِلُونَ بِهَا. This is why the heart can have diseases that are not physiological. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. This is why the exegetes say that when the Quran says about our master Ibrahim alayhi salam, إِذْ جَاءَ رَبَّهُ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ, that indeed he approached his Lord with a sound heart. This means a heart free of doubt, a mind free of doubt and full of certitude, never inclined towards idolatry, a tawheed-oriented worldview. So when the Quran interacted with the sacred prophetic heart, you have nurun ala nur, light upon light. The sunnah, the established prophetic ethos and way, which is called sirat in the Quran, which is called al-hikmah in the Quran. The sunnah is the timeless living tradition of the Quran itself. The sunnah is the lamp, the siraj that illuminates the Quran. The sunnah is the lens through which we understand the Quran. He, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, is the teacher of the Quran with his words and actions. He is qadamu sidqin. He is urwatul wuthqa. He is awla, haqqun, burhanun. These are all of his names in the Quran. And this, and for this, we can only say Allahu Akbar. We are the nation of the great teacher and seal of the prophets. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar kabira, walhamdulillahi kathira. Surat Ibrahim continues, Allahu alladhi lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard, wa waylun lil kafirin min adhabin shadid. Allah, unto whom belongs exclusively whatsoever is in the heavens and whatsoever is on the earth. So woe unto the disbelievers for a severe punishment. All of creation belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. It is all His, and He can do whatever He wants with it. He is both Malik and Malik, owner and king. This is why the so-called problem of evil in Western philosophy is not really a problem for us as Muslims. For those who claim positively that God is love, with God as a subject and love as a predicate, the presence of moral evil in the world becomes very, very difficult to explain. From a Muslim perspective, all of this, all of creation, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's exclusive dominion. And He can never be questioned for what He does to His dominion. Just as space and time do not apply to Him, He is the creator of space and time. Our conceptions of good and evil do not apply to Him. He is the creator of good and evil. Allahu Akbar. Yet He is the loving, al-wadood. He is the compassionate, ar-Rahman. He is the relenter, at-tawwab. Allahu Akbar. This is our theodicy. This is our vindication of God. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the omnipotent king of the universe who overwhelmingly deals with His creation, with what we understand to be love and compassion. But He is also al-jabbar, al-muntaqim, al-mutakabbir, al-qahir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beautiful, but He is also majestic. He's merciful, but also rigorous. Yet there is preponderance of mercy over rigor. Allahu Akbar. For those who say that the Messiah, peace be upon Him, is the Lord of the heavens and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to this through our master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, through the prophet of the Abrahamic restoration sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He said, قُلْ سَيْ فَمَا يَمْلِكُ مِنَ اللَّهِ شَيْئًا إِنْ أَرَادَ أَيُهْلِكَ الْمَسِيحَ بْنَ مَرْيَمْ وَأُمَّهُ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا.
then who would have an iota of power over Allah if he decided to destroy the Messiah, the son of Mary and his mother and everyone on the earth altogether? وَلِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ وَاللَّهُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ. Unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exclusively belongs sovereignty over the heavens and the earth and whatsoever is between them, meaning the cosmos. He creates whatever he wills. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power over all things. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar kabira, walhamdulillahi kathira. This is huda. This is clear guidance we've received from Al-Hadi subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is from Al-Wahhab, the one who gives to the undeserving. Allahu Akbar. Surah Ibrahim continues. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَحِبُّونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ وَيَسُدُّونَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَيَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا أُولَٰئِكَ فِي ضَلَالٍ بَعِيدٍ. Those who prefer the life of this world over the hereafter and who turn away from the way of God, from the سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, and seek to make it crooked, it is they who are far astray. Those who prefer this fleeting life of 60 or 70 years over the abode of permanence are not being rational. This is unintelligent, irrational thinking. Putting all of your eggs in the basket of the dunya is irrational when you know that the specter of death lurks behind every corner. You can go at any time. We know this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَمَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتُهَا وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ وَأَبَقَى أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Whatever thing, whatever shay you are given, it is only an enjoyment of the life of this world and its ornament. But that which is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better and more lasting. Will you not use your intellect? Will you not be reasonable? Our Master Jesus, peace be upon him, is reported to have said, what does it profit a man to gain the world but lose his soul? Our Master Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'da al-maut wa la'ajizu man atba'a nafsahu hawaha wa tamanna ala Allah. The intelligent one is the one who subdues his lower self and works for that which comes after death, while the unintelligent one is the one who has put his lower self in pursuance of its desires and has vain hopes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The commentators say that such a person follows his whims and desires. He leads a hedonistic and selfish lifestyle against his better judgment and expects Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him. That's not intelligent. That's not reasonable. We need to get our theology straight. This deen, this religion, is an intelligent deen. It is a thinking person's deen. A wise old man once said, would you rather hold a handful of dirt for several hours or a piece of gold for a moment? And the answer is a piece of gold for a moment. He continued, yet there are people who would rather hold dirt for a moment than possess gold forever. There was a study conducted on children years ago by a Stanford professor. It was a study on delayed gratification. They found that children who preferred to have two cookies later rather than one cookie now were generally more intelligent and successful later in life. Self-control, discipline, patience, these are markers of success in both worlds. This world is a shadow of the next world. Why would someone prefer this fleeting life over the hereafter? It's because they have doubt about the hereafter in their hearts. But rather than try to alleviate their doubts with serious and sincere study using reason, logic, and academic inquiry, they take the lazy way out and allow their hawa, their caprice, their desires, their lusts, their feelings to rule them. And then out of spite for those who engage in the way of God, the sabil of Allah, which Imam al-Suyuti says in this ayah means al-Islam. Out of spite for those who practice Islam, they seek to change Islam through lies, deviation, and falsehood. وَيَسُدُّونَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَيَبْغُونَهَا عِوَجًا. The people of knowledge say that you're either calling to something or you are being called to something. No third option. Right now in our society, God-rejecting deviants are openly saying that they are going to, quote, convert our children. We will convert your children, they are saying. They are saying this openly now. No more hidden agendas. No more conspiracy theories. It's all open. We want to convert your children. They want to convert our children into accepting their deviant lifestyles and perverted philosophies. But in order for them to do this, they need Muslims to forsake their tradition and accept the current zeitgeist. They need us to accept this highly intolerant and coercive liberalism that has now openly declared ideological war on traditional religion. This is their project. This is their project. And let me tell you something. We are gradually becoming the last line of defense when it comes to traditional religion in the world. We, the Ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have been entrusted with the Millah of Ibrahim alayhi salam. We must not allow ourselves to be bullied or intimidated. Fastaqim kama umirt. Be upright as you have been commanded. Be strong, resolute, stand up straight. Ya ayyuhal mudathir, qum fa anzir, wa rabbaka fa kabbir, wa thiyabaka fa tahir, wa rujza fa hajur, wa la tamnun tastakthiru, wa li rabbika fasbir. Stand up, warn people about their behavior. Say Allahu Akbar, purify yourself, shun their defilements and idolatry. Don't expect anything from them and be patient. This is our project. This is our project. We are the last line of defense. The vast majority of Jews no longer believe in the 13 principles of faith as articulated by Maimonides, their greatest classical theologian. The historical critical method has ripped the Torah to shreds. Most Jews today are non-practicing. They go to the synagogue for cultural or social purposes, or they practice Reform Judaism, where they can eat whatever they want, and their halakha, their sharia, is optional. Even belief in God is optional, is not required. The current Pope of the Roman Catholic Church is an extreme liberal who constantly offends his traditional and conservative followers. This is the leader of a billion Catholics. He's made strange and bizarre comments about the existence of hell, about civil unions, about the Latin Mass. Something strange is going on with this guy. Most Christian churches in the West have let the woke circus through their doors. They have capitulated to the same coercive liberalism that has overrun the academy like a scourge. They surrendered to the mob that claimed that their beliefs were not only offensive, but constituted violence. Your beliefs, not actions. Your beliefs are violent, the mob said. So they let the circus in. And once you let the circus in, sooner or later, the clowns will run the show. Amazingly, during this time, people in the West continue to convert to Islam. Allahu Akbar. It's really not that surprising. It makes sense when you think about it. Islam is the religion of human fitrah. It appeals to our natural disposition. People naturally love monotheism, uncompromising monotheism. They are attracted to the simplicity of Muslim worship, bowing and prostrating without icons, without statues. They are attracted to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, who was respectful of others, yet uncompromising when it came to his principles. People respect that. Even his enemies respected him for that. They are attracted to how Islam recognizes the difference and uniqueness of men and women, how they are equal but not identical, how they are complements, not rivals, not antagonists. They are attracted to the sanctity of human life in Islam and the equality of all human beings before God. For them, Islam is totally refreshing in the face of the current zeitgeist. And of course, there is a place for culture in Islam. There is a maxim in the Sharia that says, al-ma'rufu urfan kal-mashru'i shar'an. That which is known through custom or culture is like that which is legislated by revelation. But there is a caveat. Any cultural practice must be circumscribed within the hudud, the bound of the sacred law. It must not violate the revelation which is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا تعت لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There's no such thing as obedience to creation in disobedience to the Creator. Interestingly, a lot of middle-aged adults are converting to Islam. These are people who have had some time to think and ponder about life and the current state of affairs in the world. They have come to see through the lies and deceptions of the current zeitgeist. Many of these converts who live in Europe are total submarines. A submarine is a Muslim who has chosen not to make his faith to anybody. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows who they are. You'll notice that children, because they are close to the fitrah, they love Allah and His Messenger. Children with terminal cancer never complain. They accept the qadr. They are awliya. But then when they go to public schools and colleges, they become exposed to this postmodern philosophy, critical theory, deconstructionism, atheistic materialism, post-structuralism, radical hermeneutics, etc., etc. And they have a falling away. Their fitrah takes a hit. Their common sense is questioned. But then eventually, when they get older and wiser with experience, when they begin to do some real thinking on their own, they come to realize, صدق الله وصدق رسول الله. This is happening everywhere right now. These unnatural, deceptive, and irrational philosophies are making people miserable. These philosophies turn the world into a godless battleground where different identity groups are constantly vying for power. Everything becomes a struggle for power. These backward philosophies turn people into mean-spirited, self-righteous cynics. It bifurcates the world into two classes, the oppressed and the oppressor. And ironically, those who are often labeled as oppressed are actually the oppressors, and vice versa. Tawbah and shukr and tawadur, humility, are thrown out the window, and people are getting tired of it. They're getting tired. They want an alternative, and they're discovering Islam. They're discovering the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Surah Ibrahim continues. I'm nearly out of time. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ فَيُضِلُّ اللَّهُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ وَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الْحَكِيمُ. And we did not send a messenger except in the language of his people, in order for him to clarify for them. And God leads astray whomsoever he wills, and guides whomsoever he wills. And he is the mighty, the wise. The surah continues, وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا مُوسَى بِآيَاتِنَا أَنْ أَخْرِجْ قَوْمَكَ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَذَكِّرْهُمْ بِآيَامِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِكُلِّ صَبَّارٍ شَكُورٍ. We indeed sent Moses with our sign saying, bring your people out from the darkness to the light and remind them of the days of Allah. Truly in that are signs for those who are patient, grateful. Here the Prophet ﷺ is juxtaposed with Musa ﷺ as he is often in the Qur'an. Yet the superiority of the Prophet ﷺ is explained that in that while Musa ﷺ was commanded to take his qawm, his people, the Bani Israel, out of the darkness, the Prophet ﷺ was commanded to take an-nas, humanity, out. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ is the universal messenger, rahmatil alameen. Musa ﷺ was commanded to remind his people of the days of Allah. These days are those special days throughout the calendar that commemorate certain events in the history of Bani Israel. They remind people of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as Allah saving them from the Fir'aun and making exodus to Egypt. We have special days as well. Today is one of those special days. The shaitan also has his days, his special days, his special months or month. But while we say, Lakum dinakum waliyadeen, the shaitan wants to compel us to commemorate his days. During the entire month of June, shayateen were working overtime, inundating us with reminders of their special days. Even children's cartoons were not spared from their demonic efforts. But during this time, Allahu Akbar, the izzah of this deen was discovered by many decent non-Muslims, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge. They noticed that there's something about Islam that prevents Muslims from surrendering their moral truth. They notice that there is something about Islam that prevents Muslims from groveling and genuflecting before the mob, that we have istiqamah, that we stand up straight. Allahu Akbar, people are coming to this deen. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ أَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ إِذْ أَنْجَاكُمْ مِنْ آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ يَسُومُكُمْ سُوءَ الْعَذَابِ وَيُذَبِّحُونَ أَبْنَاءَكُمْ وَيَسْتَحْيُونَ نِسَاءَكُمْ. وَفِي ذَلِكُمْ بَلَاءٌ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ عَظِيمٌ. The surah continues. And now we come to verse 7. وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِ لَشَدِيدٌ. And your Lord proclaimed, if you are grateful, I will surely increase you. But if you are ungrateful, كَفَرْتُمْ. كَفَرَ means to disbelieve. It also means to be ungrateful. If you disbelieve, if you are ungrateful, truly my punishment is severe. This is the great lesson for this day. If we are grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will increase us. Don't let the current zeitgeist convince you that you're some sort of victim. This eliminates tawbah. This eliminates tawadur. This makes you an ingrate. Follow Allah and His Messenger. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in all good things in both worlds. May we all show immense gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His many blessings. May He continue to give us the istiqama needed to uphold the millah of our master Ibrahim alayhi salam. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم توبوا إلى الله يا تواب توب علينا. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله المصطفى وعلى ساداتنا وإمتنا أبي بكر عمر عثمان وعلي ورضي الله تعالى عن أصحاب رسول الله أجمعين. The substitution of a ram for Ibrahim's son, alayhim as-salam, serves as the basis for the ritual of the slaughtering of an animal, the udhiyah, the qurbani, that is required as a final rite of the hajj. We are to do this as well, or at least have someone do it on your behalf. Also, it is wajib in the Hanafi school to continue the takbirat at least once, right after every fard salah, up to and including Salatul Asr on the 13th of Dhul Hijjah. So that's this Friday, July 23rd. Asr on Friday is the last time. يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتاب العزيز بعد نقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيد محمد وعلى آل سيد محمد كما صليت على سيد إبراهيم وعلى آل سيد إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على سيد محمد وعلى آل سيد محمد كما باركت على سيد إبراهيم وعلى آل سيد إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد نشهد ولا إله إلا الله نستغفر الله نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار نشهد لا إله إلا الله نستغفر الله نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار نشهد ولا إله إلا الله نستغفر الله نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا يا كريم وصلى الله سيد محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين عيدكم مبارك.